the king has come today. Sing with me. Ooh, the king has come today. The angels sing glory to the king in the highest today. Shepherds came to see the babe who in a manger lay. Ooh, 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 the king has come today. Ooh, 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 the king has come today. Let's sing that some more. Ooh, 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 the king has come today. Ooh, 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 the king has come today. Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, Savior God with us. Counselor, Mighty God, joy to the world. Ooh, you, the King, has come today. Has come today. Ooh, the king has come today. He's come. Ooh, the king has come today. He's here. Ooh, the king has come today. King has come today. Ooh, the king has come today. Ooh, the king has come today. Join with me one last time. Ooh, the king has come today. Has come today. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Fear not.
That's okay. That's okay.
What?
Okay. Fear not. What was that?
My Santa trap. I got him.
Oh,
gotcha.
What do you think? What do you?
Stop struggling. Stop struggling.
What? Do you, what?
Oh, hey, 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 hey. What?
Not get up. What? Do you? Crazy.
Oh, they are.
Honey, are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm fine. No thanks to this contraption.
I'm sorry.
Velma, honey, we just knew you was gonna come back up.
I'm not back, Henry. I just came to grab a few things till that thing grabbed me. Which is a good thing, I guess. I could never leave without Amadeus.
Velma, are you leaving us?
I've thought a lot about it, and I just don't see any other way. I have told so many lies, I don't know where to start in tying the knots. Sometimes it's best just to cut the string and start over.
Velma, how come you're talking funny? And where's the rest of your hair?
You see, I don't even know how to talk anymore. Am I Velma? Am I Valerie?
You know, I'm getting that confused feeling again. You know, all this reminds me of a story.
Not now, buddy! Velma, honey. We can't have you leaving here now because, you know, we is like your family.
Who is Henry, Velma, or Valerie? And how do you know I won't lie to you anymore? You all deserve so much better.
You see, now in this
story... Not now, buddy!
Velma, honey, you know what? We don't need no better Velma. We like the Velma we got. You understand what I'm trying to say, don't you?
Velma, how did all this happen?
Well, I was 16, and He wasn't much older, but we were old enough to know better, and one thing led to another, and it all led to a baby.
Thelma, this is about me, isn't it?
What are you talking about?
You having to leave town on the account of you having a baby.
Well, yeah, but what does that have to got to do with you?
Now, you see...
Not now, buddy! Thelma, just say it. You're my mama, aren't you?
What?
Okay, now what happened was...
Not now, buddy!
I know.
Look, I know I'm your daughter. You like Vidana, I like Vidana. You've been here 25 years, I'm 25 years old. You had big hair, but I have big hair.
Nadine, that halo must be cutting off your circulation because I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on now, Velma. I watch all my children. I know how these things work.
Nadine, sugar, your mama lives on Spring Avenue, where she has since the day she brought you home from the hospital, which is where I think you belong right now because I think you've lost your mind.
Well then, what happened to your little girl?
Well, my parents made it pretty clear that I didn't fit their idea of the model daughter. And with the details of my failure left out, the good ladies of our church filled in.
Get it? Why the hell the Faith Memorial Church lady just got you so upset that day? I got it.
Her face was different, but the tone was the same. And once I knew how they all felt, I knew I couldn't stay. So I went up to Oregon until after she was born, where a really nice family gave her the home I knew I never could. Shortly after that, I said goodbye to Valerie and hello to Velma. And as much as I hate it, I think it best that it's time for Velma to move on, too. You know, I've always been partial to the name Vicky.
Velma, can I tell you my story before you go?
Sure, buddy.
All right, take a seat. Sit down.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. There were these shepherds living out
there. Oh, buddy, that's the...
Not now, Nadine! Where was I? Oh, yeah. Okay. And there were these shepherds living out in the field at night, watching over their flocks. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared before them. And they were so afraid. Just like you are now, Velma. But that angel said to them, don't you go being afraid now, because I'll bring you some good tidings, a great joy, and that'll be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, just like your sign, Velma. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Well, anyway, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. And I think he meant ladies, too, on whom his favor rests. That's it.
Oh, buddy, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Ma'am, don't go. Come here. See, the way I see it, the first Christmas was all about God giving us all a second chance. And, well, Velma, there's never been anyone I've known in my entire life that's given me as many second chances as you. And what I'm trying to say is that we will be very much obliged if you let us give you one. Another chance, I mean.
Oh, buddy, I'd be a fool not to take it.
Buddy?
Why isn't that cow breathing?
Oh, shoot!
Last 4 weeks, we're convinced that Jesus is looking for hungry people. That's why God sent his son, not to the religious people, those people who already think they have it together, but to those people who are hungry for truth, those people who are hungry for healing, those people who are hungry to deal with their pain. The diner is just a place where people go because they're hungry. You'll find hungry places, you'll find hungry people in a lot of different places. They'll be in office complexes, they'll be in high schools, they'll be in gymnasiums, hungry people who may look good on the outside, but inside they're being torn apart. And so we've been hanging out at Velma's Diner. I hope you've enjoyed the last 4 weeks. I personally feel that this cast and crew, who have put in hundreds of hours, many of them, to bring us this drama, have really assisted us in this celebration this year. Before I share with you what I believe the Lord wants to say in concluding our series together called Velma's Diner, I hope it's okay with you. I believe this is appropriate to do, but I would like to honor and give a sign of appreciation for those who have spent, as I said, literally hundreds of hours preparing for this season to help us celebrate. So I would like to take just a moment or two and invite the crew and the behind-the-scene people and the extras to join me on the platform, that we could appreciate them. If you're unable to come here, would you please stand up out there? We have the sound men and the light guys back there, and some of you aren't able to come up here, but you are part of that. We want to thank you. Thank you. The crew, the behind-the-scenes people, and all of the extras. Yes. Thank you very much. Everyone plays a part, and without each part playing their individual part, we couldn't... I'd like to invite the supporting cast to now come and join us on the platform. And if you are unable to come up here, please stand so we can recognize you. The supporting cast, would you give them a hand for being and doing what they've done? Thank you so much. Valerie Kearns played the part of Velma. Calvin Jamerson played the part of Henry. Jennifer Watson played the part of Nadine. And Joshua Cordero played Buddy. We appreciate your thoughts. Would you just stand with me and let's just appreciate this whole team? Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Love you. Thank you, all of you. Thank you. Only a daddy would do that, right? Bless these guys. Thank you. You may be seated. The sound. Well, Velma put on a pageant to celebrate Christmas. It's not going to win any Emmys. There's no Academy Awards going to be presented. If you rated it, you might rate it on the lower end of a 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest thing you've ever seen. Maybe it'd be on the lower side. Sure wasn't your traditional Christmas celebration, was it? Dead animal. Didn't have three kings, just had three Elvis impersonators. A lot of things left out. Got an umbrella here. Doesn't look like too much Christmas to me, but that's all they had. The one thing they did have is they had sincerity. They had hearts that were genuine. That's what God's looking for this season. He's looking for people who want to celebrate with hearts that are honest with what's going on. Not people who are putting on a phony face and pretending to be okay when there's things breaking down inside. He's looking for real people who will celebrate and worship in spirit and in truth. And wherever he finds them, he'll join them. Velma, the main cast, has a past, as we've discovered. And that past has in her own mind distanced her from God. But we learned last week, as we looked at that scene, that her past and all of her sins hasn't distanced God from her. In her mind, there's a gap, but it hasn't separated God from her. That past has caused her to run. She's been running from her past. She's had a secret that she didn't want anybody to know. And when someone else found out, she would just run again. She'd already changed her name once from Valerie to Velma. And now the secret's been discovered. There's a dimension of shame, a whole lot of pain. Her only answer to it is to run again. Now I'm going to go from Valerie to Velma. I've always been partial, she said, to the name Vicky. Sometimes we deal with our past hurts, our pain, by running from them. And we think that if we go to a new city, go to a new church, get some new friends, get a new life, get a new wife, get a new husband, get a new car. If we start all over again, that's the answer. We find out very quickly that maybe what we really need isn't a new beginning someplace else, but maybe we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be candid with God. We need to decide to stop running from Him and start running to Him. We run from God. We run from our past. But at some point, we got to say, I'm going to face my past. I'm going to expose my past. And then it's going to be old news. Everybody knows now that Velma had a child that she gave up for adoption. Some of you have the same things happening in your past. Isn't it about time? Aren't you glad that she finally says, I'm not going to run? Because some little boy who doesn't have a very high IQ, who works behind the counter, he told her a story about Christmas, the truth about Christmas, that says, you know, there is a God who sent His Son who's willing to give second chances. There's a God who really won't rate you on the basis of your performance, but He'll look at your heart. You may have fallen 70 times 7 in the same area, but we have a God who will forgive us 70 times 7, if need be. She hears that story and she decides to stop running. What a wonderful season this would be if there's anyone in this congregation who's running from their past, filled with shame and regret and remorse. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you decided to say, I'm going to stop running and I'm going to run to Jesus. I'm going to run not from Him, but I'm going to run to Him. See, when you run from God all of your life, and we're in good company because there are a lot of people who run from God and hide. Adam and Eve, they were the first couple. Man, they had some sin take place. What'd they do? They went and they hid. What about Jonah? He's on the run. He doesn't want to follow God. He doesn't want to do what God wants. He's on the run. Look at Moses. He's killed someone. He's running to the other side of the mountain range. He's out in the desert place. No one's going to be able to find him there, but God finds him there. We're in pretty good company. Elijah, he's a man who was on the run from Jezebel. He's looking for a cave so that he can hide. And once if he hides, he may hibernate for a while because he's afraid of what's going on. We're in good company. There's a lot of ways to deal with your hurts. A lot of ways to deal with your pains. You can ignore them. You know, we all see, you can see your pain, it's there, but whenever it comes into view, you just kind of, it's like the elephant in the room. We all know that there's an elephant in the room, but no one wants to look at it, and we think that if we just ignore it, it'll go away. The Israelites tried to do that. If you remember when Goliath came out 40 days and 40 nights, he kept taunting. He didn't go away until a young guy by the name of David, a small guy, came up and says, I'll take him on in the name of Jesus. Problems and pain doesn't just go away if you ignore it or if you deny it or you pretend. It only goes away if you say, I'm going to face it and I'm going to be able to do that because I can run to Jesus. You know, when you don't run to Jesus, when you run from Him, you are a wounded person. You don't get healed. We have a lot of people who are wounded running around, and we need to have people get healed because healthy people produce healthy people. So many of us have scars. Does anybody have physical scars on your body? Can I just see your hands? I've got, I've got several of them. I've got a big one right here. It's about 4 inches long and went all the way to my bone. I could tell you how it happened. I could tell you all the details because it was a very painful time. But you see, it doesn't hurt anymore. I can touch it. It's actually stronger now in that area, the doctors tell me, than it was before it was cut. Pain when it's healed, wounds when they heal, don't have to hinder you any longer. They can actually cause you to be a stronger person because you brought them to the Lord. Listen to what Psalms 147 verse 3 says. It's talking about God. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. There's a special anointing that is upon our Savior, Jesus, and it's recorded in Old and New Testament. Here's what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus said, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to poor, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for all the prisoners. See, there's an anointing that Jesus, if you come to Jesus, he begins to set in motion a healing process. If you don't come to Jesus, what happens is you and I go on in life, but we never go beyond that point of hurt. There's a lot of people who've gone on in life, but they've never gone beyond that point. When you come to Jesus, do you know what he does? He restores your hope. He gives you a future. I'm telling you, you have a future. And it's not needed by God to remove your past. He will embrace your past and use your past. Some of you have a horrific past. Some of you have experienced abuse, whether it be physical or emotional or verbal. You've experienced tragedy in your home. And I'm sure that some of your stories, I couldn't even comprehend what you've gone through. But God has not committed himself to removing your past. He's always going to let you remember the past. You know why? It's because you can remember his grace in getting you through the past. Last week, I broke down a little bit because I was reminded of some of the things I did in high school, some of the things I did in college, in the early years of marriage, what I did to my wife and my family, how I brought pain. And I can experience a whole lot of grief, but do you know now that I've come to Jesus, do you know what happens? He reminds me of his grace that carried me through those times. How he has taken and restored me, restored my family. He's kept us together for all of these years. That's something that he does when you run to him. He gives you a renewed sense of joy. He rebuilds your past. He doesn't remove your past. He helps you remember and rejoice in his grace. There is a scripture that I looked up. I've read it a number of times. You have too, possibly. It's become my Christmas prayer. It says this from Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, that's why God sent his son Jesus. He's the one we celebrate. He's the reason for this season, because he wants to give you a renewed sense of hope. Yes, we all have a past. Yes, we all have failures. But because of him, if we run to him and not from him, he will restore and renew that hope. How does he do that? Well, believe it or not, he lets you run for him. If you run to him, he will give you an assignment and he will say, now I want you to run for me. You run for Jesus. You begin to help build people in his kingdom. That is your assignment. And it is through that helping that you get healed totally. I was talking with Pastor Rick at Glad Tidings this last week. We spent some time together and we were talking about hurting people. And I said, I recognize in our congregation, I'm sure you do as well, Rick, that there are hurting people out there who are just coming and they're in recovery. They're not really involved. They're coming on a weekly basis, but they're getting restored. They're getting healed. And he says, yes, we have those people as well. And I says, isn't it interesting, though, that at some point, if they're going to get totally recovered, they can't just sit and receive. They've got to get involved in building the kingdom of God, because it's as they get involved and work on it that it works on them. And so God says, get back on the horse. I knew you were thrown off. I knew you broke a leg, and you're afraid of horses. But get back on the horse. Get back involved. I have an assignment for you. You're valuable in the kingdom of God. You have something to do. And as you do that, I'm going to complete the healing process. Sometimes we feel as though we have to get healed before we can do anything. Sometimes we feel like I've got to get my act together and I have to be perfect in order to do something for God. And God says, no, the truth is that as you begin to do something in my kingdom, that in itself will begin to perfect you. Don't wait until you're totally healed before you step into it. No, let by faith my touch help you as you do get involved. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's right. If my son should die, hopefully he doesn't. Until after I go to heaven anyway. Shouldn't work that way, the other way around. Hopefully he doesn't die, but if he did die, I would probably bury him in 3 days because that's our custom. Usually someone dies and in 3 days you have a funeral service or a memorial service. When you bury them, it's not because you're healed, but the burying helps the healing process. Sometimes you get healed and then you bury, but a lot of times you have to bury something in order to get healed. You have to turn from it. You have to stop doing it. You have to stop playing that video player, or you have to stop playing that DVD or that recorder that continues to remind you of the past. You have to say, I'm going to stop running, just like Velma did. And I'm going to not run from God, I'm going to run to God. And you know, once again, all of a sudden he begins to give you a renewed sense of your hope. The good news of Christmas is that he will fill us with joy. He will fill you with hope. But the greatest news of Christmas is what we sang about, and at least in my mind, it's the song that we sang, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Listen to this verse. It says in Matthew 1:23, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. If you run to God and you're willing to run for God, you and I get to run with God. He actually comes and participates in our lives, taking us by the hand and leading us. What a wonderful picture we have at Christmas of God reaching down to mankind so that we can reach out to him and he can reach out to us. I took my grandson out into public recently, and generally speaking, if we're at home or in the front yard, I let him play and do what he wants to do, and he goes wherever he wants to go, and sometimes I'll have to go catch him and bring him back, and I'll do that. But when we get into traffic or we get into a place where there could be some danger, what I do is I reach down and I take his hand. And you know, I've noticed a little independence in my grandson. Pulled his hand away. I'll do this myself. No, son, you need me. You may not think you need me, but right now, if I let you go, you could get run over by that car, so hold on to my hand. And so he struggles for a moment, then all of a sudden, if I hold it tight enough and long enough, it goes limp. He finally surrenders. He finally says, you know, Dad, Grandpa, you know what's best. And that's what God's looking for. He's wanting to walk with you and me. One man said God didn't come so that he could walk with us. He came so that you and I could walk with him. He came to elevate you above the past. There's a tense in the Greek language that says we have past ramifications. We have a past activity with present ramifications. So all of us have done things in the past, and some of those things in the past really affect our present decisions. They cause our present to be tainted because they're alive. What was a present hurt today will become a past hurt, and if it's not healed, it will hinder us in our present lives. God says, I want to deliver you from that. I want to heal you from that. And as you get involved and run for me, you will find that healing process takes place. I was watching these UPS drivers and these FedEx drivers, especially in this season. How many of you have seen them all over town? And usually they're really going fast. I usually hate to get behind trucks because they're so slow. I never mind getting behind a UPS truck or a FedEx because, man, they are going as fast as they can. And what are they doing? They're delivering packages, gifts to people, and they didn't purchase any of them. Someone else purchased those gifts, and they're just out delivering. See, that's what we're all about. I'm just a deliverer today. I'm just a delivery boy. Here, Jesus has got some good news for you, and you get to open it up, and you get to eat of that. And that's what he says, I want to involve you in the process. And as you become a delivery person, you're going to find your joy is full and completed. We are in a race, and we need to run. Velma's problem was that she was running in the wrong direction. Do you remember in 1964, that a guy by the name of Jim Marshall, how many of you remember that name? Played for the Minnesota Vikings. Recovered a fumble. What'd he do? Man, he started to run. Lo and behold, had open field. No one was going to catch him. The only problem was he was running in the wrong direction. Went down, got into the end zone of the San Francisco 49ers, spiked the ball in jubilation, went out of bounds. San Francisco got 2 points. Safety. He thought he was having a victory, but he's running in the wrong direction. See, running is a good thing. as long as you're running in the right direction. They even say that there's endorphins that are released, runner's high. I haven't ever reached that point yet. I've run to get exhausted and tired. I guess you have to run longer than that to get the high, but I'm told that there's a runner's high. I'm telling you, when you run to Jesus and you run for him and you run with him, there is something that happens in your life that will transform you. We are on the heels of 2008. And Hebrews 12 says, listen, there's a race that we must run with endurance. Lay everything aside. Every weight that would entangle you. Lay aside every sin that would hinder you. Lay aside your past. Let's forget worrying about the past. Let's look to the future. Let's look to Jesus who gives you a future. You have a future. How do we do this? How do we run this race with endurance, laying aside these things? Verse 2 of Hebrews 12 says, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Don't lose sight of Christmas. And if you keep watching Christmas and the life of Jesus, you'll find it ends up at Calvary. Starts at Christmas, it ends at Calvary. We hear that Santa Claus brings presents and he puts them under your tree. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ came and he died upon a tree. That's the greatest gift that you and I will ever receive. My only hope this year would be, this Christmas, would be that you would respond, not just those of you who may not know Jesus here today, but all of us would respond by saying, I'm going to keep running to you, Jesus. I'm going to keep running for you, Jesus. I hope, I don't know how long I'll live, but if I live 30 more years till I'm 86 years old, 56, 60, 70, 86 years old, I want to be running for Jesus. And I surely won't make it, nor will you, if you're not running with Jesus. And that's the Christmas story. You've heard over the last 4 weeks the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We've done it in segments, but what you've heard is scene one. You belong to the family of God. You may not know it, but you belong. You were created. Every person who was born belongs to God. He created everything. Some have rebelled. Some have turned on him. Some don't want anything to do with him. That's their decision, but you were born to belong. In the second scene, the second week, you are valuable to God's kingdom. There's some gold in them, their bodies. There's some gold in them, their hills. But you got to mine it. You got to get through the dirt. Some of you are pretty dirty and dusty, and you got a lot of stuff over you, but there's gold inside, God says. And we got to keep mining it. Don't ever lose sight of the gold that's in people. Don't get turned off by people, because we all get hurt by things. You see, some people leave the church because they get hurt by church relationships. What did her parents do to Velma? They had some pretty distinct statements toward her about what she had done. You sure aren't the model child. And what was her statement? And what the family didn't do, the church people did. The ladies of the church made the other accusation. They caused her to run. Listen, we're going to get hurt in church. Because, you know why? We're all imperfect people. That's the message of Christmas. He came to imperfect people, not perfect people. And I'll tell you, it can happen over anything. Someone didn't say hello to me. I'm going someplace else. They sell a cup of coffee out there, and then they won't let you come in the sanctuary. I took my child, and they weren't even there. They showed up late. I'm not coming back. I mean, it can be anything. I can't worry about all those hurts. That's why I have to keep running to Jesus with you. You have to keep running to Jesus with me. Oh, God. There was a guy in last service. He came up to me. He says, Pastor, he says, I've been out of church for 50 years. The reason I haven't gone to church is because when I was 13 years old, pastor came up and told me I was going to hell if I didn't do this and do that. And then he said, you need to come to church and you need to change your clothes and get a new set of clothes. And this is the man that came up here right after second service. 50 years. He says, I started coming at the beginning of this series. I got an invite. We sent out I don't know how many thousand invitations to people in the city. He happened to be one of them. So he started coming. He says, I've come every week, and I'm going to continue to come. And he began to tell me how some things had changed in his life. I mean, that's what the gospel's supposed to do. It's supposed to touch people, not just us who are all goody good shoes. We're in a race, and let's run it with vigor as we close out this year. I know some of you won't come tomorrow night because you maybe be with family or stuff, but I want us to pray today that this will be a Merry Christmas. I mean, a Merry Christmas for everyone. Some of your Christmases aren't all that merry. You're going to be with people you don't want to be with. I know what that's like. My family has to be with me. They know what it's like. But see, we're a part of God's family now. And everyone can have a Merry Christmas as long as we run to Him, for Him, and with Him. Stand with me if you would. It may be difficult for some of you who have little children in your hands, but if it's possible, why don't you just bridge the aisles? Let's pray a prayer together. Jesus, there may be those here today who have never run to you at all. They've never made a decision to make you the Lord of their lives. If you are here today and you want to make God your priority, if you can say after hearing what you've heard this season that Jesus does love me, I do belong in His family, I do have some value, even though I don't feel it. I do have a past, but God has dealt with that, and now I know I have a future. If you've heard the message this season, and you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, you've never done that before, would you just squeeze the hand of a person beside you? That'll just notify them that you're making that decision. They're not going to attack you, and they're not going to do anything, but they're just going to be notified. If you're having your hand squeezed right now, would you just pray a prayer for them? Oh, God, forgive them of their sins. Oh, God, give them a brand new future. As they put your trust, their trust in you, reveal yourself to them and help them to grow and give them the merriest of all Merry Christmases this year. And, Lord, I pray for all of us that we would, as we sang about, we would invite you to take the place of honor because this season really is all about you. We thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself over the last 4 weeks. Thank you for your supernatural spirit that does supernatural things, things that we're not able to do ourselves. Cut the past, Lord. Free people today from anything that has happened prior to this date. Give them a brand new beginning. Velma was only a character, but she represents some very real people who need a second chance, who need a third chance, and a fifth chance, and a tenth chance. And you're willing to do that, Lord, because you look at our hearts. Help this to be, I pray, a Merry Christmas. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to have some elders, going to have some of their wives, going to have some prayer teams come forward. If you were someone who squeezed the hand of a person beside you, we would love to give you some information to send you away, reading to help you grow.